Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'll be joined by Rob Zarek. He's the guy who hosts, you know, part of the show that I'm not, right? Hey, Rob.
I really thought you called yourself Nikki Paranormal.
No.
I must be going crazy.
Clearly.
Or crazier, but it's okay. I'm looking forward to tonight's show, and I appreciate you staying up and staying on the radio tonight, and I look forward to the show, like I said, and we'll see what happens. I know we have kind of, it's an interesting night because we have our standard interview, and then we have a free reading night all put together in one fancy one-hour episode.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And we don't usually do that. So tonight's readings will be brought to you by the Purple Dahlia, not your average medium. It's a long, she's listening, and it's so long when I have to like say the whole name. And we're going to go through them pretty fast tonight, so I can do the extended versions. So I'm actually looking forward to see how that goes, because we usually do, you know, a little bit of a fuller reading, so. You know, the one question, you know, rapid fire ones might. Well, I'm curious to see how it's going to go.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then we get to talk a little paranormal to start, and some investigating. So it's going to be good. And I know we last time when William was on, we didn't get to half the things we wanted to get to. So it's good to have him on again tonight. And we mentioned having him on, it's been a while now. I think a good couple months. And
yeah. Seems like just last
time
week,
goes
though.
By. It does.
Yeah.
You know, but we had a lot going on and over the past couple of months, and now we're finally getting back to the swing of bringing back guests. And I think we just bring them on right now because we only have them for, 25 minutes tonight. And or now 25 minutes. And then you know what's going to happen is when that time comes up, we're going to be like, oh, crap. We're going to have to have them on for the third episode. So let's bring them on.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
how are you guys
tonight?
Doing tonight?
Doing
well.
Good. You're doing, doing good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Good.
So what's new?
Yeah.
Oh, not much. Kind of just, we kind of got hit with that whole pandemic thing. So we kind of haven't gone anywhere and done anything. So, it's the investigating part. At least Ohio, or part of where we live, we opened up today. So we could go out and about, though. I am not available to go out and about. But so I guess I don't know how that's going to go. Apparently, people are not wearing masks, and it's
no, come on, folks, wear your masks, let's all pull our part. I'm in Ohio too, so it's I went out earlier and I had to go to the video store. But there are still, believe it or not, video stores in Ohio, and I had to return the movies that were I took out 3 days before everything locked down, and I had them for 5 days, which turned into about a month and a half. Hopefully Family Video does not penalize me for this, but I turned them in today because they actually had the doors unlocked and I was able to drop them off. I can't rent anything else, but we'll see what happens. And then I had to run to the Home Depot and pick up some hardware and stuff. But, I'm, walking around that place. They got a mask on, and I'm, looking, and, three-quarters of the people in there just walking around. Even employees, and nobody's wearing a mask. I'm like, oh, this is terrific.
Wow. That's scary.
At least if I have it, I'm not spreading it. So, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go home, put the furniture together that I had to put together, and that's about it. So, go home,
online.
And
super, super weird. I know at Crocker Park opened up today, and at Crocker Park, I'm guessing 90% of the people did not wear masks. just the employees.
Oh, come on. Oh.
Yeah, it was insane. So
hey, I'm so glad this parachute has slowed me down. Now I'm slower that when I land, I won't hurt myself. Okay, I guess I can take it off now. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. It's like one of those things that people are like, they're like, freedom, we don't know what to do. And obviously you can still be free but wear a mask. You know, it was bizarre.
You know, through a lot of this, I was I have a friend, he just opened up a stand back in February. He's got a butcher shop over at the West Side Market, one of the stands over there. But him being a new business owner, he can't really, he doesn't really have employees in his budget, so he's kind of doing everything down there, mostly by himself. But he's got a couple of friends, myself included, going down and just kind of out of the, you know, because he's such a good friend, we're just kind of helping him out and whatever. With like, you know, slinging meat and everything, and it's like, yeah, no, people down at the market are, you know, we're just volunteering our time, but people down there are wearing, everyone's wearing masks and stuff, and it's like, and everyone's like all worried about meat shortages, and it's like, dude, go to the West Market, you can buy as much as you want. There's no mm-hmm. limit, and they got plenty down there, so yeah, so that's so that got me out of the house at least through a lot of this, you know, and I got to see my friends, and. You know, social distance with a mask on, but also, you know, help out, you know, which was good. So,
yeah.
Happy about that.
It's funny. We were asking people what they've done or what they wanted to accomplish and, you know, when it first started. And it seemed like everyone set high goals and then didn't accomplish what they really wanted to do. That's what I took from it. Everyone's like, you know, we're going to do these projects, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden, they didn't do it. So, we had a lot of high hope shows. And I don't think anyone actually came through.
You know, my high hope for at least for like part of this winter, like since I got back to Cleveland back in October, was I quit smoking a little over 2 years ago, and that was great. You know, that's terrific. I quit smoking, but then it's like, okay, well, when you quit smoking, you also pack on about 30 pounds, and I'm like, oh, son of a yeah. I'm like, okay, that's it. My resolution this winter: join a gym. And lose the weight. So I joined the gym and I started losing the weight. And then February rolled around, March rolled around. I'm like, damn it. Like, they shut the gym down. And I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to do crunches in my living room. I'm like, okay, this isn't working. It's like I was trying to get all in shape. So when I get back to putting bay in, well, it was supposed to be May. It'll be June now. It's like, oh, I was going to get all in shape. I was going to look all buff. And no, that ain't happening. I'm like, oh, well, I'll go back. Hey, you know what, though? I grew a beard for the winter, and I'm like, I look great. And then my friend CJ, she talks me into shaving off the beard, but I left the mustache. So now I'm walking around with a porn stash. And I'm like, you know, I've never actually had one of these. And I'm like, worried. I'm like, oh, my dad had a mustache growing up. And I'm like, do I look like my dad? And everyone's like, no, you don't look like your dad. Don't worry. Well, my brother says I do, but that's my brother. I'm like, I think he was just razzing me. So.
To be expected.
Okay, thanks for having me back on. I appreciate this. I know we went on. The last time I was on, we talked about a lot, but we really didn't get much of a chance to talk that much about the castle, did we?
No, and I think that's what we definitely have to talk about tonight. And you know what you could do is you could always just run the stairs over there. Just go up and down the stairs.
Yeah, it's I mean, I love being here. It's such a fun place. But yeah, I'm actually gonna walk into the front room here for a few minutes. I think I get a better reception up here. It's better to hear here, guys. I don't know. We got these big stone walls on this place, and sometimes I get like, I'm like, what? Wait, what? I didn't hear something. I don't know. Interference. I don't know. I like to blame the ghosts. I don't know. Yesterday I was, I'm saying I had to go unpack some furniture that was delivered yesterday downstairs, and I come upstairs. I'm like, man, I'm really sweating here. What's going on? Look, it was thermostat. It's set at 75. I'm like, what the hell happened here? Nobody set the thermostat at 75. Not even my brother.
Nice.
If he were messing with me, he would have fessed up to that. So just another one of those things that just happened. Just like how the lights flicker on and off and turn on and turn off.
They were trying to sweat you out.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I ended up turning the deck back down to 69 where it's supposed to be and then opening windows. And yeah, Cleveland last night was not hot. It was, well, we had snow yesterday morning, and it's supposed to be cold tonight.
Yeah,
no, we really did. We had snow.
I don't usually fill her in on the May snows, because then she's like, yeah, I'm never coming there again. So like, we're never.
Oh yeah,
it was wonderful out. It was wonderful out. There was nothing wrong. It's like 40 mile an hour wind and snow. I'm like, nope, nothing bad here.
Yeah,
he tells me I left the window open.
Okay.
And then he said it snowed, and there's snow inside. I'm like, yeah, so it doesn't snow there, right?
Well, I was like telling people, I'm like, oh, today's date, January 128th. It's like, what is this? Funny thing is that on Saturday it's supposed to be near 80. What? How the hell does this happen? Welcome to Cleveland. It's we have three seasons in Cleveland. Most places have four. We have three seasons: June, July, and winter.
Right.
Which is so much fun up here. But no, yeah, seriously though, all joking aside, no, really, Cleveland is great. So it's an absolute roller coaster. And oh my God, I love Cleveland. I love Northern Ohio. It's just, what is up with this year? I don't know. So it's just, yeah, funny stuff going down.
It's funny. We're watching a bunch of videos with my kids. And they watch a lot of YouTube videos, and people are like, all right, 2020, here we come. We can't wait to do this. And you think, man, hindsight, I'm making those videos. I mean, that'd have been, not the year at all. But
yeah,
how long have you been at that castle? He was asking me that, and I forgot.
Yeah, this was my fourth winter. I came in a winter of... Yeah, let's see. Winter of fall of 2016 came in, and this has been my fourth winter staying here. So because I'm gone half of the year, I go back up to Clinton Bay. Usually in May, but yeah, this year it'll be June. We're a little delayed on everything, but yeah, four wonderful winters here in Cleveland. Back here in the castle, and you know, I just every year it just feels like a blessing to be back here again. The owners are fantastic. They're really wonderful people, and they're making so much progress on the house. They've got a great team of carpenters working on it also, and the way that the owners are restoring this house, it's just fantastic. They got such a great vision for the house, and be here and be a witness to it. It's just fantastic. It really is. And anything that I can do to help out along the way with being here and you know, anything that they've asked me to do, shovel the sidewalks, stuff like that, even sometimes something as small or mundane as that is just, hey, sure, okay, all right, or you know, rake the leaves or mow the lawn or anything. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, it's like, you know, 15 years ago, if you'd have told me I was going to be here, I'd be like, ha ha, yeah, right. And hey, here you are, you know. It's like, oh. So yeah, four years now. I've been in this place. It's fantastic.
And before they bought it, did it sit vacant for a while, or how long did it sit vacant for?
The house itself wasn't occupied for a number of years. There was the last owner. Her name was Michelle. Wonderful, wonderful woman. I was fortunate to interview her when John and I were writing the book on the castle, and she gave me some wonderful impressions about the house, her plans for it, her ideas, what she wanted to do, and sadly what happened in late 99 when somebody broke in and torched the house and burned it. It sat in a pretty bad state of disrepair after that for a number of years. She was able to save the house from the wrecking ball by replacing the roof and the mansard walls around the fourth floor, the top floor of the house here, just to prevent any further water damage from happening. And that did save the house, it really did. Then she had a fella here who had intentions of turning the house into a private social club. It was a good idea. I mean, it really was. it would have been nice to see something like that in Cleveland, but the plans never really came to fruition. The House sat boarded up that entire time. I believe he came in with the ideas of doing this in 2004. So from about 2004 through, well, the new owners took over in 2011, but even at that, it was about 2 years before they were able to really start getting the restoration underway. So 2004, it sat for the better part of about 11 years boarded up. And in a fairly sad state of disrepair, but then the restoration began. The fellow that had the idea for the club, he was living in the carriage house in the back, but not in the castle itself. It wasn't habitable at that time. So, a number of years it sat empty there. And, they came in and, really changed things around, really brightened the place up, new floors, new ceilings, fantastic work in this house. Really, what could be saved was saved, and what was too far gone was either replaced or bordering along the same vein of what had been there, or Northern German influenced, much like what you would have seen in the homeland of the people that built the house originally. And one of the architects, Frank Adel, is from the same area. So something that you might have seen here, or maybe even in their summer house, which was the same architects, but it was just over in Lakewood, fairly close. So,
what year was that house built?
It took about a year and a half to 2 years to build. They broke ground on it in about mid-1881. Early to mid-1881, and it was either finished in late 1882 or very early 1883. It's a hard call. I'm betting more on very early 1883, and we're going off of tax records for this, where we see the price, the value of the property jump, and well, drop and then jump. We also have a map of Cleveland that's much shows every property in Cleveland down to footprint of the building and what it was made of and how many stories. And for the lot that this house sits on, there was nothing here. And that was assessed in about June or July of 1881. So we know the house was torn down by then, but we know that it was still standing in January of that year, because that's when, or the first house was still standing at that point in January of 1881, because Mr. and Mrs. Tiedemann's daughter Emma, who is believed to haunt this house, was buried out of the first house that stood here. That house was built around 1860 to 61, and Mr. and Mrs. Tiedemann tore it down in 1881, shortly after their daughter Emma passed away. Now, Emma is, as far as ghost stories related to the house go, she's the one that people, or they believe that she's who they call the girl in white that has been seen in this house. That's one of two spirits that people have reported, a girl in white. They also report a woman in black, and they believe that to be Mr. Tiedemann's wife, Louise. She did die in this house in 1895, that March, and she died in, interestingly, what's now my bedroom. Not in what's in my bed. I have to tell people that. I don't sleep in that room very often, even though it's my bedroom. Not because of any paranormal activity, but because I need to replace the mattress, because the mattress is very firm. It's a little too hard for my liking, and it's just something I haven't gone around to. I'm more of a couch sleeper anyway. I like to fall asleep with the TV on because I get sleep paralysis, and with some distraction, it helps me just, fall asleep. So the whole lying there half awake for 45 minutes while your body freezes up, and it's like, that's a terrible thing to go through. So if any of your listeners have sleep paralysis, I sympathize with you guys. I'm going through it too. So,
So it was built in, that what you said. So the how long did they live there for? Like, what was the time frame that they owned that property? You know,
I'm sorry.
So, like, 1893 is when you said it was finally finished. How long did they live there for?
Oh, okay. The Tiedemann family came in 1865. They purchased the house that fall of 65, right after the end, a few months after the end of the Civil War. They'd been previously living up the street on West 28th, just north of Franklin. They lived in that first house through the beginning of 1881 when their daughter Emma passed away. Meanwhile, though, they had been having a house built out in Lakewood, right here next to Cleveland, just west of us, on Lake Avenue. And in the spring of 1881, that house was finished. So they moved their family out to that house, tore down the first house here on Franklin, and built what's now the Franklin Castle, what's called the Franklin Castle. Moved in around the time it was finished, late 1882 or 83. And Mrs. Tiedemann passed away in 1895. And the following year, Mr. Tiedemann returned to Germany, and he was remarried while he was there to a woman named Henriette Kepke. They came back to Cleveland immediately after the wedding. And in 1897, they moved out of this house and moved into the house out in Lakewood. And for the next 11 years, Mr. Tiedemann would live there with his wife until his own passing in 1908. So they, Mr. Tiedemann had the property from 1865 to 1897. So it's quite a good run there of a little over 30 years the family was on this property. That's a pretty big span, and that's about, with the exception, I'd say, of the Eintracht Club that owned the house for the better part of 45 to 50 years. Mr. Tiedemann and his family were the longest owners of the property. But when they bought the property in 1865, there had already been a house here, and that's what they bought. It was only built 5 years earlier by four brothers from Canada, who all four of them joined up with the Civil War, the Union Army. And two of them, unfortunately, did not survive. They both died from disease. But the other two that did survive, the elder one ended up with the house, and the younger one was sort of like the Forrest Gump of Canada. That's really the only way I can describe the guy. He was a friend of Alexander Graham Bell. He was a friend of Thomas Edison's. He founded a college and is noted as the father of modern-day meteorology in Canada. And he was John Wilkes Booth. It was his roommate. And he also met with Lincoln during the Trent Affair, which happened in the early part of the war. So, yeah, this guy, they could write a whole book about him. And I think somebody did, now that I think about it. So, and that was Newton Wolverton. So I think he's got his own story. And there's no mention of the fact that it's related to the Franklin Castle, which is really interesting. So I don't think the family knew. At least when I wrote to them and asked them, hey, can we borrow these photos for this book we're writing about this haunted house in Cleveland? They're like, this what? And I'm like, well, yeah, they built the first house. And they're like, what? So this lady was like the great-great-granddaughter of the elder brother had no clue and was really floored. So I'm like, yeah, and then there's title transfer and everything else. So,
so when it comes to, you know, we're big on you know, the paranormal investigating, and you mentioned, you know, two of the possible, you know, hauntings that are more well known at the castle. Well, what else is, like, you know, you mentioned all these people, the property has changed hands multiple times. What else do you think goes on? Do you think there's any of the other owners, any other people who have lived there that actually, you know, still walk the halls?
Yes. Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And this is something that I really like to share with people, is not just so much in the fact of the castle, but most any place, really. Who can say, honestly, who what the identity of a spirit haunting a house or a location might be, because is it the house that's haunted, or is it the location that's haunted? It might be a second house, or even a third, or it might be the property, or whatnot. There have been 4 deaths in this house. Louise Tiedemann being the first in 1895, and then 8 years later in 1903, there was a little boy here who was 13, Albert Mulhauser. He was the second death. He was the son of the second owner of the house, Louise Mulhauser. And then in 1943, there was a caretaker for the German club that had the place, the Eintracht Club. And that man, his name was Jacob Enns. And then in the mid-1960s, the fourth and final passing to happen here was a man named Mr. Fichter, and he was the last caretaker of the club. All of them died from either disease or fairly common ailments of the time. Nobody died from some sort of a violent death, but then you have people that are like, well, there has to have been some murder, and then in around 1980, some lady created a story of a murder, and she was here as a tour guide. Her name was Ellie Bernstein, and she had the notion that, well, for a place to be haunted, you have to have some terrible tragedy. And I say, why? Why would you need that? Why can't a place just be haunted? I'm trying to remember who had said it. It was one of the great writers from the 19th century said, all places that men have lived are haunted. And I'm kicking myself because I can't remember who it was. And, of course, he says men. And it's like we would say all places that people have lived are haunted. And I agree with that idea, at least. But 4 deaths have occurred here. The 2 most identifiable spirits, or who they claim to be the ones that have been seen here, are a woman in black and a girl in white, who they believe to be Mr. Tiedemann's wife, Louise, and their daughter, Emma, who died not in this house, but in the first house that was here in 1881. And some people even said that the woman in black was Mr. Tiedemann's mother, Vivica, and Vivica had passed away in this house that same year in 1881. Well, again, the castle wasn't standing yet, and also she didn't die here. She died over on West 47th Street. 3 blocks away, over at her daughter's house. She just happens to be buried with the rest of the family. So out of the 4 deaths that happened in this house, plus Emma Tiedemann, who died in the house that stood here beforehand, and 2 other children, Albert and Ernst, who died in infancy in that same house, there was even 1 more child, Wilhelmine, who passed away over on West 28th Street at the place they lived in before they lived on site. Who can say who haunts a place or why? And to sit and say that, that it's so and such that haunts the house, we can compound some evidence together and say, well, I was recording and I kept having... I was doing an EVP session, and I said, well, who are you? And I kept hearing the name Albert over and over. Albert. Okay, well, that's pretty compelling when you keep hearing Albert. That's something to go on. Doesn't necessarily, of course, make it so. But is it Albert Mulhauser or Albert Tiedemann? Both died on site. So, again, you can't know. I've had people ask me questions when I do the haunted put and pay ghost walk. And I tell them, I'm like, okay, like one of the places we talk about out there is the Put-in Bay Brewery. Now, supposedly it was built by a man named David Benjamin Rosenfeld. And it's supposedly haunted by the ghost of him, Benny. And anytime you talk about Benny, bad things happen. Okay, that's something there, too. But we can never really say 100% sure, of course, because we don't even know exactly what a haunting is. To say who it is that really haunts a place. But I have a feeling that it doesn't necessarily have to be just Louise Tiedemann or Emma Tiedemann that are the characters on the stage in this house. It could be anybody. It could be people that we don't even know about, people that have never even been discovered yet in any of our research. There could have been somebody who was working on the house while it was being built, that might have fallen and broken their neck or something. I mean, any number of things could have happened. there might be stories that are still waiting to be discovered or rediscovered. Who can tell?
Well, and that's
exactly.
Funny because we talked last week about that that property in Missouri. It's someone bought a property and there's a haunted home on it, and they wanted the house removed, and it was free or $1. I can't remember what the price was. Some either free or for the taker, but they had to take the house off the property. But then we were our discussion was, does that mean the land is still? They probably haven't looked too far into it because we all know that it can just be the land that has the attachment, not just the building. So they may be in for, a rude awakening when they build their new house on that property and it turns out it's haunted because they were attached to the land, not necessarily the house.
Yeah, exactly. One of the stories, now, you being from Cleveland area, how familiar are you with the Sam Shepard murder case of 1954?
I've always wanted to go investigate that. I think they have his summer home. They moved it to the nature center.
I don't know. I know that the original house, the horrible murder had taken place, and that house was torn down in the 1990s. Somebody had let it out. Now, this isn't, and I don't like to really go, and I don't like to say that. Oh, it's haunted because of this murder. And although I've never met him, their son Sam Reese Shepherd is, of course, still alive. I mean, he's a younger fellow. He was only born in the 50s, for crying out loud. Not only to sit there and talk about, his parents haunt, or his mom haunts the house. Well, it was whispered among people that the original house, they were having activity, and they wanted to. Somebody had bought the house, didn't like the stigma that it had of having had this murder, and it was also whispered that the house was also haunted, and that they had torn it down. They built, now there is a new house there, and that they also had problems. I don't know, I never heard this from anyone that actually lived there. This is from neighbors, and people are like, oh, well, you would be surprised to know, since you're into ghosts, to know that this story about the house in Bay Village, just west of Huntington Park, where the Marilyn Shepherd murder happened, it's true. And I'm like, oh, really? Who are you? And then they say, well, I live up the street, and we've known this for a while. And, it comes out that I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. But, yeah, to back up what you're saying, yes, the site, not necessarily the house. Who can say, though? I always ask, is it the house that's haunted or is it the site? There was a firehouse in Cleveland located just south of the West Side Market, just on the other side of Lorraine Avenue. And this firehouse was known among all the firemen as the Haunted Firehouse. It had a number of events recorded. One fireman was trying to sleep. He kept getting his blankets pulled off him, so finally he jumped at the person that was doing it, and they shot up like a rocket through the ceiling. Another fellow went downstairs into the cellar to go light the furnace one night, and he said a skeletal hand had reached out of the wall and grabbed him as he was reaching for the tinderbox, and he refused to ever go down there again. They would hear the bell ring when nobody else was in the firehouse, the horses would shy quite often. When they tore it down in 1904 to build a new firehouse, they discovered it was built on a cemetery. The first cemetery west of the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland. It was the old Ohio City burial ground. And prior to that, it had been used by Seneca Indians as a burial ground. So the settlers just built on top of the Native Americans, or buried on top of them. They found full caskets with complete human skeletal remains inside of them. Those were buried in private that evening, but this is in 1904. One old-timer came over and said, yeah, we buried our daughter here in 1835. I mean, the guy had to be in his 90s if he were around at that point. And he's like, and then in 1836, we were told to that we had everyone moved, and then looking down at this one casket with a complete that was opened up, he said, "Now I'm just wondering if the people we paid to do it ever did the job," and he left in tears.
Oh, wow.
A couple weeks ago, they started excavating the site. They bulldozed the shopping center and started ripping up the parking lot, and they have not found any human remains. Not to the best of my knowledge, they haven't. But they're about to build a transit-oriented community on top of this. So we'll see what happens, I guess. There hasn't been a structure on top of that since they built the second firehouse. And I don't know of any activity at the second firehouse, but the second firehouse only lasted a few years because they tore it down because they were widening Lorraine Road, and then they started construction on the approach for the Lorraine-Carnegie Bridge, one that has a big guardian statues on it. So we'll find out what happens, I guess. And I guess that's a good way to find out if it's the site that's haunted or is it the building. I don't know.
There you
go.
We'll
find out again.
That's what we were talking about, like about that house. So that's interesting. There you go. Be a way to find out.
I'm super curious. Well, we'll have to go over to the, hey, how's it going now? You know, once they have their new building up, you know, does that theory go up?
Yeah, I'd like to find out when they start building it. Right now it's just a big open pit that's all fenced in, and they've got Gearing Avenue closed off. And, yeah, it's right there. So if you ever go over to the West Side Market, like in the next few days, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the northeast corner of the construction site, it's a graveyard. Who knows who's still buried there? So.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get out. Maybe I'll just go. Maybe that's something.
There you go.
I think, well, to be honest with you, you know, I think I saw that as I was driving out there. How long has that been going on for?
They started. I want to say they started it about a month ago. They started ripping it all up. I went over there about a week ago. Last Monday I went over there because I was meeting my buddy Sean, who has the butcher stand. We were heading up to Put in Bay to go make meat delivery. And I stopped in for a few minutes. I talked to a couple of the contractors and was telling them about it. And they're like, "Oh, you got to go. You got to talk to our." They're like, "No, you got to talk to the foreman over here." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm in a hurry, so I can't talk to them right now." But they're like, "Well, when you get back?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be back on Wednesday." So, but I haven't seen those guys since I got back. So I was like, "All right, well, maybe tomorrow or something. I'll go over and talk to them." But I'm sure the last thing that they want to hear is that where they're digging is also a cemetery, because if that comes up, and if they find anything, they got to stop everything. They got to pay for a survey team and everything else. And they make appropriations to have remains removed and properly buried. When you mention something like the fact that it was a Native American burial, now and then we have to bring in the Native American Council, of course, and they have to. Well, then you have to sort out. Okay, are these Native American remains or are these European settlers? That gets difficult as well, I guess. So that's probably the last thing these guys want to hear. But hey, I'm a stickler for, you know, lay people to rest properly. Don't just discard what you find. I mean, that's somebody's mortal remains. Don't just cast aside what you find. I hate that because I keep seeing that, and it's upsetting. That's
definitely.
Yeah, sometimes it's all that's left of you, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate having you on. So this is going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll have you again.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. It was great talking to y'all.
Yeah, good
definitely.
Talking to you, too.
We'll have to get together soon. And
yeah,
just,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back on. We'll have to have you for a longer duration.
Yeah. That'd be great. It'd be great to come back and talk to you all again. That'd be terrific.
Awesome.
So.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks again for having me on. You guys have a good night, all right?
All right.
Thank
you.
You too.
All right. All right. Thank you. Will do. Good night. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I guess now we're doing free readings.
Yeah. Let's bring on Lisa.
So if you wanna,
that was really cool.
Want to bring her in? Yeah, it was. I enjoy talking to him. He's got so
many
great stories.
Yeah, he's got fantastic stories. Oh, my God, I know. You just want to, like, sit down and have some popcorn and just, like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring in Lisa.
As the paranormal turns, he should be great doing bedtime stories.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? He's got,
like,
good
stories.
Like,
you know, he's sitting at a campfire, got the popcorn going, you stage it to Rob Patton in the woods, and he comes on and goes, ah! And everybody goes, ah! Great, great stories.
Definitely.
You awake now?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
Shaking people.
Not
everybody
much.
Have a nice
well, what,
month?
Yeah, how about you?
I'm all right.
All right.
Line was too long to hear it, and I finally got my, Mother's Day ice cream cone tonight. A little late.
Oh,
but
well, there
okay.
You go. Yeah. Still works.
It was worth it. It was good. It wasn't soft and smushy. It was like perfect, the perfect consistency. Because I'm a dairy queen.
Go.
There you go.
Worth the wait then, right?
Yep, worth the wait.
There you go.
Okay. So we're going to do rapid fire tonight because I know we're short on time, but, you know, there's always people that didn't quite get to get read. So if they have a question, like, I'm not saying go right down to the barcode, but, like, you know, hey, you know, I have a big purchase coming up. Do you see it going well? Something that I can do that way so we can try to get this done because I know we're later than usual and, you know, it's one of those time is essential kind of things. Not that you're not going to have me back. I know you will because you guys love me, right? Right?
We'll have
right?
To
of course. Of course.
We'll see how it goes. We're using
yep.
Tonight as a catapult into the next one.
We're testing. You call
yeah.
It the guinea
pig.
You're welcome.
No, okay, so I have a question for you, which I know
okay.
This is probably not, you know, like the time because we're running short on time, but I'm going to ask you this anyway because I want to, and I run half
nope.
The show, so I can do what I want. So... You were on hold, and
yeah.
You were listening to William talk about the Franklin Castle. Now, when you're
right.
Listening to someone talking about the Franklin Castle, I know you've never been there, but he's talking about
it.
The people who have died there, people who maybe have haunted it. When you hear this,
well,
do you get things while you're listening to that type of thing?
So, since you're asking me, is what I jotted down what I got from Spirited who's talking? Is that what you mean? Because you know I do it all the time.
Yeah, was like, were they coming over? Were you being
okay.
Visited from Cleveland? You know, while
right.
Like we're like, hey, yeah, it was me. It was Albert.
Look, Rob, you know me well enough. Joni knows me well enough. Nikki knows me well enough. Anybody that's paid to have a reading by me knows that I make notes all the time. I got that it's
mm-hmm.
A tainted land, saturated with odd passings. Not all of them are paranormal. Well, any passing's traumatic, but not all of them revolved around, like, you know, Satan was sitting there with his cup of hot cocoa and zap, you go down. It's just a bunch of coincidence that made a layered effect. You know, like, say,
right.
For instance, when you're, this is the only way I can explain it. I know people, it's food again. You take a white cake, but then you try to frost it with chocolate frosting, and the chocolate frosting bleeds through the layers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened.
Okay.
So it creates like a mucky paranormal energy throughout the land. So no matter what you build on it, it doesn't matter what you take off of the land, whatever you try to put on the land, a new house, whatever, there's going to be residual energy. I would recommend a shaman going in and blessing the land and explaining to certain spirits that they got to go. And I'm not convinced that it's just human. I'm also picking up elementals. Now, he did mention that there was deaths in the family, but I get smallpox, rheumatic fever, and consumption. There was itchiness. Mm. It was hard to breathe. It was a very oppressive. You know, in the summertime when it's just so hot, you just can't breathe? That kind of feeling to the area. I have two wives with the same husband, two children to each of those wives that died. There was a fall from a roof under construction. I don't think the guy died, but he was kind of paralyzed. And from that point on, he just became like, lay like broccoli vegetable. And then there was a hinky murder, but I don't think it was intentional because back then they might not have labeled everything clearly. There was no, like, medicine bottle, you know, safety cap on it. I think somebody mixed up two different kinds of medicine that if they had paid attention or it was clearly labeled, that death would not have happened. Like, you know, both in brown bottles, maybe chugged, like, you know what I mean? Like peroxide and rubbing alcohol, always two different colored bottles. Do you ever wonder why?
Right.
Somebody
drank
it.
Yeah.
You
right.
know what I mean? So I think it was an unintentional death through poisoning. Is that what you were talking about, Rob? You just wanted to know what
yeah.
I was doing while I was listening?
You got all that just out of the just listening.
Mm-hmm. I could feel the oppressive air. It was just like it's one of those hot, hazy, humid days where you stand outside and you're not even outside for a minute and you're struggling to breathe. You just want to, like, you're dizzy, you're disoriented, and you just want to lay down. But it feels like there's, like, an elephant standing on your chest. No, every breath you try to take, a deeper breath, the more it crushes you.
Yeah.
Maybe what we should have done is have you come on and talk to him. That's what we should have brought
yeah.
you on.
Yeah.
Hey,
now
anytime.
Next time. Well,
hey,
okay,
yeah.
let's get a caller in.
Experience. Yes, please, let's get a caller in.
All right,
I'm ready.
Which
right.
one do you want to do first?
Let's do the 773 area code.
Okay,
I'm going to bring them in live.
You want me mm-hmm. to read what it says for the area code or no?
No,
I
you
don't
have
know
time.
How much...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, you have
so
time. Yeah, go ahead.
What was the area code?
773. Are they there?
Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. For your area code 773, I have your prayers and meditation have helped you to tap into accurate and trustworthy divine guidance. It just means that, like, you know, when you're asking for a prayer and a sign, like, Lord, give me a mm-hmm. sign, this is the right job for me, it comes through. Now,
okay.
What is your question, and how may I be of help?
I'm at a point where I just need to make a decision if I'm going to stay doing what I'm doing, if that's even an opportunity after this whole situation is over, or I've been thinking, is it time for me to move into something else? Is it time for me to just physically move where I live? I don't know. I feel like I'm on the brink of a big change.
You're at a crossroads.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
I want to say, like, the road to the left ain't going to help you. There'll be a clear definition coming for you that's going to be
okay.
the most awkward, uncomfortable OMG moment. And just as you're thinking you're going to sink into despair, kick, I'm going to need a few days for this. And that's
okay.
the road to the right. And it's going to work out great. It's actually going to work out better than if you had planned it yourself. Like, you can tell there's divine intervention with this one.
Okay.
So as much as you're going to have that Haagen-Dazs, you know, success night, just know that tomorrow's a new day, and with that new day comes a new opportunity. I do see it's a job shift. There may be a potential move, but it's not going to happen right away, and the move is as a result of you making money.
Gotcha.
Bigger, better, beautiful, you know, those kind of things, like the bigger bedroom, the bigger bathroom, the bigger closet.
Right.
All the important
gotcha.
Things.
Well, yeah.
Does that
I
help
mean,
you?
Yeah.
This is going to be these are going to be a couple of months, and let's face it, the next couple of months for the entire world is going to suck. Thank you, China. it's just one of those. It's not the Chinese people, it's the Chinese government. But thank you. We all appreciate this. Today was a beautiful day. I could have been out to eat, but no, let's stay inside again. Yeah. It's just one of these things that's going to suck for everybody for the next couple of months. And as if it hasn't sucked already, it's going to get a little worse because as goes up, the air conditions
right.
go on, everybody's home, the two words you don't want to hear next to power outage is brownout.
Right, right.
So there's going to be a lot of babies coming up. I can just tell you that right now. The first brownout is going to be a boom in the population. So just take it with a grain of salt. Think of it as not all these doors closing. Think of them as for every door that closes, there's two more opportunities behind it. So it's
okay,
coming.
Fair enough.
It's coming. So it's okay if they want to close the window. You don't need that draft because you want to stay focused. You want your eye on the prize at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. It's coming.
Right, right. That's, yeah. That's kind
okay.
of that. And then, yeah, and then one other thing. I have a loss in my life recently, and it's just been really hard. And I'm just trying to find out how to come to terms with it and find a little peace with it.
Okay, so you know all those people that tell you, like, oh, they're in a much better place, you know, it was meant to be. That's bullshit. I mean, it sucks. Loss is loss. It sucks. Do you
right.
ever get used to it? No, but if you did get used to it, would you want to be that person that's like, yeah, okay, it's a death? No, you don't. So
right.
it's more like our bodies, our mental, physical bodies, adapt and get used to the idea and learn to accept it. It's still gonna
okay.
suck. I'm not gonna lie to you. I lost my mother
yeah.
a year ago Monday. And Monday you could say that I became Dragon Lady, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just, even if you say, like, I just need one more minute to say goodbye, 1 minute's not gonna be enough. You and I both know that.
Right.
Because you're gonna want 2 more minutes after that. You're going to want 5 more minutes after that.
Right.
It's just never enough, and we've just got to come to terms with it. I will say that the person that you're thinking of lingers around you, and they feel terrible for how you're feeling right now because they're not in any pain.
Okay. Well, that's good, because they were in a lot of pain, and they were hiding it from me
yeah.
as best as they could, but I could see it because I was the caretaker.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need you to take a deep breath because you're going to make me cry. They said to say thank you, and they could not have made the transition without you.
That makes me feel good.
Okay. Grab the tissues.
Yeah.
We got to go because I can't be doing this before bed. No more
yeah.
crying. I love you, Leslie. Big hugs.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome, honey.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
Good luck to everyone. Stay safe.
Thanks to you, too. Bye.
Next
is a 269 area code.
You can't see.
we're going to have to teach you so you can see.
No.
You should already know. You should know. Don't you already know what area codes we're going to say before we say them? I think that's how that works.
Rob, I have problems with the GPS and a map. What do you want from me? Everything? I'm a medium. I'm not a miracle worker. That's a different department.
Well, we're going to start. We'll give you the last one now. And it's already coming up on 11:30. And then, yeah, I guess you can take this one and go with it. And you can take it as far as you want, because it's our last caller.
Okay. So we got one caller left, right?
Okay.
Yep, right now.
This is it. 269.
Yes. 269.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Lauren, how are you guys today?
Good.
Good.
Lauren.
Yeah.
That you are fully supported in all your material needs and met as you devote yourself to working on your divine life purpose. So just know that as you, it's like you put one out into the universe, it comes back to you. You put things out, it comes back to you. So when they say pay it forward, they really mean it. I do feel like you're overdue. Like the wave's gone out, but the tide hasn't come in yet. The tide is coming in now for you. If I'm going to say it's probably going to be more like the end of June, then you're going to see a difference. Do you have a specific question, honey?
Nope, I was just listening, and, you know, I listen to you guys all the time, and I've gotten the answers I've needed, but I just like listening and saying hi when I get the chance to.
Excellent. Now, Lauren, were you expecting a money? I want to say it's like a windfall, but it's unearned money. Let me put it that way. It's unearned money. So that could be from the lottery, casino, like say a raffle you forgot you entered. You know when they do the unclaimed bank accounts for your state and you have to go look it up for the state treasury? I want to say you need to be looking there because it feels to be about $500.
Huh. That would be nice.
I wouldn't lie. It's like $500 to tell you, like, us, you know, moms are like, woo, party, you know?
Right.
That's a lot of dollar menu items.
Oh,
I would start
Lord.
With the state treasury because it's sort of, they have that whole list, so it could be like, say you got a refund from something, from a company that went under, they couldn't contact you, wrong email, but your name comes up. They're going to ask you a few questions to confirm the person, and the check goes out. It's just that easy.
Really?
Girl,
I wonder what that could be.
There's a lot of things that I could lie about, like the weight, the height, the age, but not money.
I'll tell you, there ain't nothing you can say about my weight. I can tell you that.
Like I'm saying, this, and it's not like a separate amount, because if it's a separate amount, I would tell you. Usually, like, they'll say, like, with the roughly, but, you know, this thing is $500 flat. So I don't think you're paying any taxes on it or that kind of crap. It's, like, from the Treasury, this is some company that owes you money, and this is the only way they could do it, because by law they have to submit it. The Treasury has it. You just have to find your name on the list.
Oh, okay. I wonder
okay.
how I find that list.
You do your state treasury, and then they'll show you, like, unclaimed money. And then you just go down, and you'll find your name. You call the number. They're going to ask for, like, the file number that's attached to it. They're going to ask you some, like, personal questions, like address, social security number, to make sure it's you. And then you might, they'll send you a piece of paper that you got to sign, and you can print something out, and then the check comes out. I have no idea why I know so much about this because I haven't gotten a dime.
Wow. That would be very helpful.
Like, if you had a rich aunt that had, like, a secret security box, like, I'd check that too, but I don't see that. I see only $500 cash. Take it. Take it.
She says, take
and
it.
And don't tell nobody you got it either, Lauren. Don't tell nobody. Don't be, like, flashing that cash because they'll take it from you.
Yeah, I've been worried about that lately, too.
Yeah. You know, smart abilities and money is not stuff you like to flash because some people will take advantage of you. I'm telling you, there's a check that's coming, but it's not going to come looking like a check because you have to sign a paper, like a paper for it and stuff. It's not going to come looking like a regular check, so it's not going to be like IRS returns, nothing like that. It's a different kind of check. Nobody's going to know. Take it, click it, do the direct deposit. Yeah.
That will be nice.
Yeah. And then you can go buy whatever shoes or whatever you want. It's all yours.
I don't know about shoes.
Okay, honey?
All right. Well, it was good to talk to you.
Thanks, Lauren. You have a great week.
You too. Bye, Rob. Bye, Nikki. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
What's going on?
I don't know. I was thinking that back about these having you randomly call into people who live in haunted homes.
Yeah.
Scenario.
I know, right?
So I'm kind of fixated on that.
Kind of like the candy camera, but it's going to be like Casper camera. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I like it.
Something we could, but we should, there's got to be a way that we could have a night where you people call in and they're having experiences. We'll have to somehow vet them so they're not like, you know, fake calls. And then you don't know anything about them, and then you just give them the information.
Well, for any of the listeners out there, when Joni and I or any of the guests that you have on that have abilities, You're not giving us any information. The first time I'm hearing about it is the area code, and I think I've proven I don't have a flipping clue where that is, because I don't. So by the time I'm done reading what the numerology book says, I'm already getting messages from the other side. So for me, it runs like a flashing commercial, you know, like you guys flipping the channels to watch all your sports at once. Like that. Only it highlights certain things. So that's the stuff that I give them. And there's some crazy messages from spirit that I have to go like, yeah, right. But no, 90% of the time, it's valid. Hmm. Creepy, but it's valid. An example, a woman I did a reading for, the reading was going fine, and then all of a sudden, you know when the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you just know something's wrong? She owned a haunted doll, and she just looked at, because she made no mention of it, and I did. I looked right at her in the face. I'm like, you own a creepy-ass haunted doll. And everybody that was in the room was like, oh, my God, how did she know that? And I could give a description. I wouldn't even look at the doll. I didn't even want to see. No, I showed you. No, really, I don't need to see that. I've got to go to bed tonight. Nuh-uh. And the eyes moved.
Nice.
Damn eyes moved. I told my husband, he goes, you're going to be up all night. I'm like, yep. He's like, every little twitch, you're going to be like, go out in the hall. It might be a crazy doll.
Do they want to keep the doll? Because I know that Nikki's, she's probably just, her mouth
I
is
am,
drooling
I'm
now. She's like,
yeah,
oh my
I
God.
Want it.
Details.
I want it.
Because she collects haunted dolls.
Tell him to
send
it to
me. Yeah, well, Landy was wondering what she should do with this doll. First of all, I said, get
send
out
it to me.
Send it to us.
Don't put it in your attic.
Send it to
put
me.
Put it in the garage. Buy a big bag of, you know, salt that you use for, like, when there's snowstorms, and just put it in that. And
send it to Nikki.
There's been some activity, Nikki. Things are missing, like, earrings. It's the damn doll. And she pinches people. She don't like me.
Send it to me. Send it to me. I'll add it to my Dolls That Cause Activity collection.
Great.
Yes. I do. I have a collection, and I have dolls that have been reported to cause activity, and that people couldn't handle them, so they send them to me. And I have a warm home for these kind of dolls. Just, I love
once
them.
Once this Corona stuff's all gone, I have an unopened, brand spanking, factory sealed Ouija board.
Ooh, love.
You game?
Yeah, I'm game. Totally game.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And Rob can record it all. Like, he can go live. He can pick the location. No, I'm not going to want to pick. Well, I don't want no spiders. But we can go to his location, but I don't want no spiders.
Okay.
That's when I
find a place with spiders.
I rehome those too, everybody. I rehome Ouija boards too.
Spiders? Oh, I think you're talking about spiders.
No, the Ouija boards.
That's kind of weird.
No, the Ouija boards can come here, and the dolls, anything haunted that people are having activity or they're just creeped out by, I will accept with open arms.
All you live paranormal talk radio fans, you heard it here. Nikki said, send the stuff to her.
Send the box of spiders.
If you're going to send it, please put sea salt, like put it in a bag and put the sea salt in the bag with it before you package it up and send it. We don't need any mailmen or male women getting hurt in the process.
There you go.
But she'll take them. She'll just add it to that, like, nuclear energy room that she's got with all the other stuff in it. Creepy.
That I sleep in. Yes.
Nikki, the friggin'
I sleep with all these items.
The eyes move, girl. Like, they move.
I love. Bring it on.
Just,
I love it.
It's just not right. The doll's from the 1940s. This doll's not right in the head, girl. Mm-mm.
See, my family's not such a big fan, but I love them. And you know what? It keeps everyone out of my room. No one
Can
will come
you
in
imagine
my room. So
some idiot decided to break in, and he breaks into that room, and he decides to try to, oh, I'm going to take this. Good luck to you, pal. I would just put a note on the bottom. You stole it. You own it. It's yours.
Yeah, no, I'd say if you decide to break in there, if odds are things are happy here, yeah, you won't be able to leave with anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to be like, oh, this is worth money. Meanwhile, he runs out the door, breaks a leg, gets hit by a car. There's a whole lot of things. I want to go back to Nikki's.
That's right, because they all have a home here. So
everybody's special.
That's right.
Okay,
and so creepy dogs you love too.
The next time we're on together, do you want to try to set that up where it's like some random place that you vetted? Because I'm totally game for that. I'm willing to bet Joni be game for that too.
Do it.
But make sure, like, we're going to have to do just like we do with the calls. Only you guys know what the place is and whatnot. So, like, that way we can get a feel for, you know what I mean? So that way we don't have any clue what's going on, but you guys do. I can't emphasize enough that Joni and I do not know who calls. We don't know the order. We don't know the names. The first time we're hearing the area code, because we're on hold too, just like you callers. So the first time we're hearing it is when they let us know. If you think I have that kind of powers to Google people, like, I don't have that kind of, really. I can't get back to the same place on YouTube twice, so.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea.
Why not? Let's expand it.
We'll
like,
give it a test run.
Yeah, because I don't know anybody else that does the area codes. I don't know any other show that tag teams, blind tag teams. Like, we're not giving any information. We blind tag team. Joni and I can't see each other. We don't know what the other's getting other than the fact that we connect, and what I get is 9 times out of 10 what she gets. So, yeah, like, I mean, bring it on. Let's test this stuff out. Let's see what we can do outside the box. Let's think outside the box.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, we will find a date and time, and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Like, you know, let's hope this corona thing ends by the end of summer, please, because I want to go back to my life. I need a road trip.
Right.
I need a concert or something. I need something that's just outside. I don't care if I get to wear a mask. I just need to be outside.
Right.
And Mother Nature's not cooperating. You guys having cold weather, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to cover my plants yesterday.
I had to stuff my little tomato plants into a bigger bush just so that they'd have some warmth.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Weird weather.
Definitely.
For
Mother
sure.
Nature needs, she needs love, people. Mother Nature needs love and hormones.
Clearly. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and doing this tonight.
Yeah,
it was kind of, it was good to kind of have, you know, a standard interview and then the readings. It was kind of, it went by super fast, and, you know, we tried to cram it all in. Hopefully that it went okay and everyone enjoyed the show tonight.
It's real life. This isn't pre-programmed. There's no script. I don't know how else you guys can prove it to the call is any more than what we're already doing.
Exactly.
I don't know. We tell them. But anyway, thank you for joining us tonight. And we'll get a hold of you probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can set something up. Because we can post it, you know. It could be even just people who live in a haunted house. They don't have to even be a location.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't
about
have
the history.
To be someplace world famous like the Lizzie Borden house or anything. But, like, you got activity. Can you vet your activity? Like, do you have it on camera? Do you have a video of something? You're not sending it to me, the Purple Dahlia. You're sending it to Nikki and Rob and let them decide if whether or not you make the cut to try to stump me. I don't know.
There you go. I like it. We'll have to make this happen.
Challenge started.
That's right.
I would assume the next night we'll do it is the next night that Nikki does not have to work early in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get up early too. So let us queens go get some extra rest, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good.
All right, we will talk to you soon, and thanks everyone for joining us tonight. Yeah. And we will see you this weekend for free reading night and next Tuesday for Spotlight Radio and maybe something else. Now that
All right, never mind. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.